morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, February 10th, 2010. You're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm William Delta.
Portland parents are not happy about the Starbase military recruiting program stalking the halls of their children's schools.
In Grants Pass, state officials are feeling the heat to increase logging to fund schools.
And the Albina Ministerial Alliance is demanding an indictment against Portland police officer Ronald Frashore.
Portland area weather today, occasional rain, high near 47. Tonight, more rain, low around 45. And then tomorrow, occasional rain with highs near 52.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Tax credits have always been a ticking time bomb, relying on the private sector's accountability track record. Oregon dug itself even deeper into a hole by handing out business energy tax credits, and the state is already locked into a large and unpredictable stream of future liabilities from the program. The House is slated to vote today on House Bill 3680 to modify but not eliminate the program. But even if the BETCs were eliminated now, the potential tax credits could continue reducing state revenue for education, public safety, and human services for more than a decade. We have more stories on school funding coming up, and it's indicative of exactly where this kind of short-sighted thinking leads you.
The U.S. Department of Energy, billions of dollars later, has a new analysis out that projects it will take thousands of years to clean up Hanford. If you have questions about America's nuclear future, come on down. There's an open house and public hearing on the Department of Energy's draft environmental impact statement for cleaning up storage tanks and managing waste at Hanford tonight at the Portland DoubleTree Hotel, right here in Portland. The analysis shows that the DOE's plan to import low-level and mid-level radioactive waste from other sites to Hanford after 2022 poses, quote, a completely unacceptable risk.
See, we go right ahead with making the same old mistakes over and over again at Hanford. And then when it comes to water quality, we've got Bull Run, which is exceptionally good water, and we just can't seem to leave it alone. Isn't it time Cascadia seceded from the rest of the nation? If you need further reason, let's take a look at Bull Run Water. That's what the city of Portland did. And the results of its intensive testing of unfiltered Bull Run water will be posted four times a week for a year on its website. The tests, which started in December, are part of the city's battle against the Environmental Protection Agency over a treatment plant. Water Bureau officials hope the tests prove that building a treatment facility, which could cost us $100 million, is unnecessary.
Tomorrow morning, the Albina Ministerial Alliance and other community members will be on the steps of the Justice Center to call for an indictment against Portland police officer Ronald Frashore. On January 28th, Frashore shot Aaron Campbell in the back with an assault rifle as Campbell was leaving an apartment with his hands behind his head. Leroy Haynes, the vice president of the Alliance of North and Northeast Portland Ministers, argues that any civilian who shot an unarmed person in the back would be prosecuted for negligence at the very least. He says the officer in this case who shot an unarmed black man should face criminal charges. The Alliance also will urge that a public inquest be held into the shooting.
Yesterday, we had a story on the Oregon League of Minority Voters' plan to offer scholarships to white students, and only white students, in a bid to get people in the majority to study race relations in college. Today, we have Promise King with League of Minority Voters joining us on Air Cascadia to tell us a little bit more about what this program hopes to accomplish. Good morning, Promise. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Well, I think this is a really great idea. I think, first off, it's dead serious and terribly necessary. But I also think it is indicative of a kind of a wry and ironic sense of humor. Talk a little bit, if you would, about what the program is hoping to accomplish.
Well, let me just tell you first what we're funded on. Oregon League of Minority Voters is funded on a vision to empower communities of color and to promote a broader understanding of the issues in all areas of Oregon. And we are a non-partisan and non-profit organization, and we thrive on promoting empowerment, building coalition, and encouraging independent thinking among our communities of color. Yeah, this program's scholarship is one additional bit of effort to promote that vision and that mission. The scholarship came about because we find the absence of the majority on the issues of civil rights and social justice. And in our effort to build more of that coalition, we are throwing our incentive in hope that we can redirect that dialogue towards our vision.
Promise, thank you so much for that. Can you give our listeners information on how they can support your efforts or get more information about the League of Minority Voters?
Yes, we are on the website, LegalOregonLMV.org, and our office phone number is 503-525-8161. And we welcome any effort, any support. We're always constantly seeking partners and allies, and because we are not going anywhere, we are moving forward. I want to move forward with all of our communities.
Well, this is where it is. This is where a lot of work needs to be done. Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Promise King with the Oregon League of Minority Voters.
Thank you kindly.
Yesterday, also, we reported that Eugene's Police Oversight Committee was holding a public hearing on the police tasering of a Chinese student and the Envelope Police. The committee concluded that Eugene police officer Judd Warden made a mistake in shooting the non-English-speaking college student last year with an electric stun gun. In a unanimous vote, the 7-member Eugene Civilian Review Board said Warden was wrong in using a taser on the Chinese student, who'd been mistakenly identified as a trespasser in his own apartment. And in an unprecedented move, the board voted to ask Police Chief Pete Kearns to reopen the police department's investigation of the incident. But as we reported yesterday, the review board has no authority. It can only comment.
School funding tied to logging Oregon's last few trees seems like the perfect storm. Turns out that logging the Elliott State Forest near Reedsport has been a source of school funding. The state land board voted yesterday to keep trying to satisfy federal biologists' concerns over protecting the land. But if they don't succeed by the end of 2011... they'll drop the existing method of protecting habitat, known as a habitat conservation plan, and go with a different system favored by the timber industry, known as a take avoidance strategy, guaranteed to bewilder the casual investigator. Meanwhile, the board will appoint an independent board of scientists to review plans developed by the Oregon Department of Forestry to increase logging on the forest about 60%. My guest this morning is Mary Scurlock with the Pacific Rivers Council. Good morning, Mary. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Glad to be here, Chris.
This seems like such a... everything about this seems misguided. It's, and so many logging companies have it in for the Elliott State Forest, it seems that pretty much every year we revisit this same issue. Logging companies really apparently want to get their hooks in it, and tying it to school funding appears rather cynical and disingenuous to me. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Well, really, it's a historical relic. We do have these common school fund lands, and there is an obligation by the state to deliver revenue to the Common School Fund from these lands. Unfortunately, they are there constraints on these lands. So it is a difficult one for the state land board. But nonetheless, we believe that there is an obligation by the state to be concerned about endangered species, water quality, and wildlife in managing these state lands. And this has been a tough one for the state land board, who is feeling pressured to produce maximum return.
If they've been logging this land for some time and in order to generate funding for the schools, why is it that, and now it seems that Douglas Timber Operations feels it's entitled to go in there and take out more trees?
Well, DTO is really just one of the interest groups that would benefit from higher logging levels on the Elliott State Forest. And what is going on here is there's been a plan in place for some time that has proposed to increase logging levels, and it's come now in direct conflict with the states of a desire to seek Endangered Species Act sufficiency for that plan. And it comes as no surprise to groups like mine that are focused on conserving water quality and aquatic species and other groups who are focused on wildlife that that plan really doesn't meet the needs of those other natural resources. So it is in the interest of those who build their businesses around logging to get more timber out of the Elliott State Forest, but it is not in the interest of the natural resources that the state of Oregon is obligated to protect.
And this is where the cynicism appears to me, is that the timber companies basically using schools as a wedge to get their chainsaws into that forest.
Absolutely. There's a bit of a perverse incentive there. We do have, in this case, short-term revenues are linked to logging levels. That does not mean that what is good for a timber operator is necessarily good for the children of Oregon.
Thanks.
It may be a small contribution to the Common School Fund, but it is not a huge contribution and could really never be a huge contribution to the school budget as a whole.
Thanks so much for that. My guest has been, that's all the time we have for now, Mary Scurlock with the Pacific Rivers Council. Again, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Air Cascadia.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Speaking of schools, here's an interesting sign in these teabagging anti-government times. In 8 Clark County, Washington school district, voters approved property tax measures to replace their current expiring levies.
And this, the Portland Public School Board is postponing its vote on whether to accept Resolution 4214. That is a $320,000 revenue contract for the Starbase program. What, you might ask, if you are not a Portland parent of a school-age child, is the Starbase program. It's an educational deal funded, so-called educational deal, funded by the Department of Defense. Students in Starbase get 25 hours of so-called science, math, and technology instruction at local military bases. After a press release was sent out about a growing number of Portland parents and community members strongly oppose the Starbase program, the Board of Education pulled Resolution 4214 from its agenda. Joining us this morning is Jessica Applegate, one of the parents who is concerned about this program. Good morning, Jessica, and thanks for being with us.
Hi, good morning. Pleased to be here.
So you have had experience with this program. What actually is involved here? What are the students exposed to?
Well, the students are taken for 5 full school days by bus out to a local military base and taught basic science concepts. And I've personally been to the base and have seen their program. And these science concepts are nothing new. They're actually taught in their regular classrooms, and I think it's just a way to expose the children to a military environment.
What sort of efforts have you seen on the part of the military to recruit the students? Is it overt? Is it?
Oh, it's absolutely not overt, and that's the thing, and that's how this has flown below the radar for so long. I found on the U.S. Military Army Recruiting Command Handbook website a quote that I would like to repeat here because this really gets to the heart of the problem. I quote, "School recruiting is critical to both short-term and long-term recruiting success. Remember, first to contact, first to contract. That doesn't mean just seniors or grads. It means having the Army perceived as a positive career choice as soon as young people begin to think about the future. If you wait until they're seniors, it's probably too late."
So this money, the $320,000, where does that come out of?
As far as I know, it's a revenue contract that comes from the Department of Defense. And it's my opinion that they are just paying our district for access to our kids.
It seems like they're it's almost like a logging company.
Exactly.
Paying to cut down trees. Literally, in some cases, people have been cut down. So you and other parents are trying to eliminate this program from the schools. What's your next step?
Right now, we're just trying to gather our strength, and we're hoping to get a groundswell of help to go to the next board meeting. And I believe that will be on the 11th. We're kind of getting clear on when this issue is going to come up with the board again. So right now, I would like to direct people to ppsequity.org, where it talks about this issue and others, and get as many people involved as possible, read up on this issue, and make your voices heard by sending emails, letters to our Portland Public School board members, because they really need to do their homework on this, and they're obviously not.
Thank you so much for that. My guest has been Jessica Applegate, one of the parents opposing the Starbase military program in our Portland Public Schools. Thanks a lot for that, Jessica.
Okay, thank you so much.
And finally, in Everett, Washington, a cat wanders into the police parking lot and winds up euthanized. Everett Police Spokesman Sergeant Robert Getz says the department has had problems with cats wandering into the parking lots and soiling police motorcycles. Getz says he personally has seen at least 5 cats. But a teary-eyed Amy Scar told local media that it's upsetting that her cat died alone. The family lives next to the police department's South Precinct building. She says 2 of her cats disappeared about 2 weeks ago. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, February 10th, 2010. Engineering is Kurt Lauer. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Chris Andre is the producer. I'm Liam Delta.
You've been listening to news and comment from Air Cascadia on KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM in Portland. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members, and be sure to keep an eye on your cats.
Coming up next, Flashpoints. Kevin Pina reports from one of the poorest communities in Haiti. Ecofeminist Joanna Macy and poet Anita Burroughs talk about poetry in a time of war. And then at 11 o'clock, Dirtbag with Glenn Andreessen. He'll have a representative of the Home Orchard Society, and they'll talk about fruit propagation and accept your calls.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support, and have a good day.